And we're now going to read together, beginning in Matthew chapter 6. Page 970, Matthew chapter 6. And then we're going to go to page 868 to Ezekiel chapter 36. The page numbers are on the back of the information sheet if you need a quick reference. And we're just going to read four verses from Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, what we just read and prayed. And then we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's read these words. "This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And turn with me now to Ezekiel chapter 36, page 868. We're going to read verses 18 to 28. Here, God is judging his own people. Verse 18, "So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations and they were scattered through the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and their actions. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, 'These are the Lord's people,' and yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. And then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God." Amen. Turn with me back to, probably keep open at Ezekiel, but keep in mind what we read from the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer that we read there from Matthew chapter 6 started with addressing God as our Father in heaven. Someone who is listening. Someone who loves to hear us pray. Someone who allows us to have this game-changing family relationship with him. And someone who permits us and permits our prayers to unlock the future of the world. So God is listening. Our Father in heaven, God is listening. What will we ask God to do? If you could ask God one thing, what would it be? We used to put a board out in the middle of a university campus Big board with a massive sheet of paper with that question at the very top. If you could ask God one thing, what would it be? And whether or not you believe in God, it is a provocative question. And some people would write on it. They would come up from all over and just write on it. Hypothetically asking God questions like, can you prove to me that you exist? It's a pretty good question. What about suffering? Where will I go when I die? What happened to my loved ones? What is the meaning of life? Can you help me pass my exams? I've got a whole range of things. If you could ask God one thing, if you could pray to God one thing, what is the most important thing to pray for? Actually, as someone once said, the most important prayer is that the most important person in the universe would do the most important act in the universe. The most important prayer is that the most important person would do the most important act. Who is this most important person? When we think of the phrase, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The address is there, "Our Father in heaven." First prayer, "Hallowed be your name." Who's this person? Who is the most important person that we're talking about here? A couple of things. When we talk about someone having a good name or a bad name, it's a way of talking about reputation. It's a way of talking about their character. It's a way of talking about them. So, "Hallowed be your name," we're talking about God. And "hallowed" isn't a word we use often today. But don't be put off by this word, though. It's like in golf. It took me long enough to realize that we've got words like par and eagle and bogey. You're discussing pensions, for example. You've got words like superannuation. Now, these can be confusing and off-putting words, but they're all words that need explaining. "Hallowed" is one of these words. It means to make holy, to sanctify, to set apart. It means that we're praying that God would be set apart in all creation, in our hearts and minds, as supremely great and beautiful and worthy. I said that the most important prayer is that the most important person do the most important act. Well, God is the most important person in the universe. Back in April last year, the car company Bugatti made a supercar called, it's in French, La Voiture Noire. Let's stick with that. And it's really very cool. It looks a bit like the Batmobile. And it became the most expensive new car ever after being sold for $15.5 million. Why is it worth so much? Because it's a one of a kind. Only one was ever made. It was sold before it was even finished. It's utterly unique. Near the beginning of the Bible, God speaks to Moses from the burning bush in the book of Exodus, and he's revealing himself to Moses. He's calling him to help lead the Israelites out of slavery. And Moses asks God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God replies, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." The most fundamental thing that can be said about God is that he is. He is. God revealing himself as Yahweh, the sovereign, self-existing one, utterly unique. Completely unlike us in that respect. He simply is. He exists across all eternity. No beginning. No end. Everywhere at once. He is just who he is. Sometimes people ask the question, well, who created God? It makes no sense. God is. It's the most fundamental explanation of who he is. He just is. He is the infinite one above and beyond who we are and what we can possibly even imagine. So God is different and unique. That's why he's worth so much. That's why he's worthy and holy. He's not only the most important being in the universe. He's the only being outside of the universe. No one else is like him. At the end of the Bible, God says to John in the book of Revelation, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." We all have our beginning in God. He is the creator, creating this universe and each of our lives with purpose and meaning. And every time you tap into that longing of purpose and meaning, you are tapping into the fact that you were made. You had a beginning, but you were made by someone who is the beginning and the end, who created you with meaning. Because he is our Alpha. Life matters. And God is also everybody's Omega. He is our end. He is the end of everything. At the end, we will either meet him as our Savior or as our judge, friend or foe. So when Jesus taught the church to pray, the first thing he chose to tell us to pray about is that the name, the character of God would be regarded as sacred, holy, worthy. When we pray the phrase, "Hallowed be your name," we're praying that his name, his being would be recognized as holy. And it's more than just saying, "God, I praise you. God, you're holy. God, we glorify you." And sure, it's a personal thing. You're saying, "Lord, I pray this." But the phrase in the prayer doesn't include "I" or "we," as if we're the ones, as if we're the ones that make this happen. We don't by ourselves make God's name holy. The request that we've made, "Hallowed be your name," is bigger and wider than that. When we're praying this, we're asking God, the most fundamental and important being in the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, we're asking him, "May you make your name worthy and holy. Make your name hallowed. Hallowed be your name." The most important person. So then, what does it mean for God to hallow his name? What is the most important act? We're praying that the most important person would do the most important act. And if God is going to make his name holy and great, lifting up his character and reputation up high, what does that mean? What does that most important act mean for humanity? It means at least two things. God's name is lifted up as hallowed and holy and worthy in his rightly judging us, because he's proven to be right. And God's name is lifted up as worthy and holy and beautiful and worthy and hallowed in his grace, in saving and transforming us. Ezekiel 36, which we read, has both those things. The context is that God has called on his people in the Old Testament to live in a way so that the nations of the world would see that God is real, God is good, and that it's good to live under his rule. God's people were to be holy, as God is holy, and reveal to the world that this God is holy. But instead, they did their own thing, and they followed the way of the world. They carried the label God's people, but they were living life in a way that time and time again damaged God's reputation. We look in a world where God's reputation has been damaged, and we ask the question of our own hearts across generations and generations of people carrying the name of God, and we so often damage his reputation. And God says to them here, he has judged them and he has scattered them. He can't ignore their sin. Now, he can put up with it for a time. God is very patient with humanity. God is very patient with you. You're getting away, in a sense, with ignoring him and not caring about him. God is very patient. We see that again and again in Scripture, and we're seeing that right now with all of us. God is very patient. But he won't do nothing. He won't ultimately sweep it under the carpet and ignore it. He rightly judges. He rightly brings justice. And he says to the people here in Ezekiel 36, it is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. Now he shows the world that he is holy when he judges sin and evil. And that's true when he sees it in his own people. Don't think the Christians get off scot-free. He sees it in his own people, and he will do something about that. And it's true, though, when he sees it in anyone. This prayer carries a warning that God will deal with everything and everyone that sets themselves up against his hallowed glory. And so when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying for God to intervene in our world to bring justice. And that one day to ultimately bring a final judgment in history. All of this, as difficult as it can be to process sometimes for us, all of this will uphold and prove God to be right in his character and glory and justice. When we see God's judgment, in the end, all of creation will say amen. As difficult as it seems for us here, one day we'll see it all balanced out. We will see everything we as a human race have done, and we will say amen. But Ezekiel 36 doesn't end there, because God's name is also lifted up as great and holy among the nations in his grace, in saving and transforming us. The same people that he could have thrown the book at are shown mercy, grace, and love. That's the message for us today. The same people, the same you, that he could throw the book at He's showing mercy and grace and love. Verse 24. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone that's so cold towards me, so uncaring, so ignorant, and I will give you a heart of flesh that pumps and feels and knows my love. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. You'll want to live for me. You will be careful to keep my laws to please me. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God, our Father in heaven. You'll be my people. You'll be my children. I will be your Father. Hallowed be your name. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying that God, please, would intervene in history to save people. May your name be hallowed in this world. Save us. Show the world your grace and mercy and love. Make your name great and worthy and holy. Save us. Prove yourself to be different from all these other religions and all these other gods that ask us that we do certain things to get to heaven, or that we live in a certain way to win our way to heaven. Instead, Lord, we know we're broken. We know that we should be rightly judged. Show yourself to be different and great and worthy and holy in your grace and in your love, in your mercy, in your glory. We're praying that God would bring others to worship and follow him too. Where and when was this great intervention? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. The great intervention that displays both holiness and grace. God sent his only Son into this world, and on that cross, Jesus was judged with all of our sin and evil, while at the same time, he opens the door for us to be saved and cleaned, sprinkled clean, forgiven. Only on the cross is there the hallowed harmony of justice and salvation. Jesus on the cross is the ultimate emblem of the prayer, hallowed be your name. Because on that cross, your justice reigns. On that cross, your grace is real. Look at how great and holy and beautiful God's love is, that he deals with our justice and gives us new life, all through Jesus dying for sinners like you and me. We should be judged, but this God brings us to himself. He can clean us from all our sin and idols. He gives us a new heart, a new start, a new life. He can give us his own spirit to live in us and move us to follow him and love him. He will be our God. He will be our Father. We will be his people, his children, promised to live in heaven forever. More than anything in the universe, the cross of Jesus Christ rings across history as the unsurpassably great, holy, glorious, worthy, hallowed moment of all. So when we pray, hallowed be your name, we're praying for God to do the most important act in the universe. Make your name the greatest. Show yourself to be gloriously loving. show yourself to be gloriously just. Cause us and the whole world to worship you because you're the only one who can save us from our sin and judgment. That's the most important act, that his name would be great and holy, hallowed above all other names. The most important person, that he would do the most important act. But let's finish at looking at why we pray this. This, finally, is our most important prayer. Most important person, the most important act. And the fact that we're praying that the most important person would do the most important act is our most important prayer. The phrase, hallowed be your name, is not part of the introduction. It's not part of the address. It's not, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. It's our Father in heaven. We've addressed him. Hallowed be your name. We're sending a petition to God. Father, cause your name to be hallowed. Cause your word to be believed. Cause Jesus to be worshipped. Cause your displeasure to be feared. Cause your commandments to be obeyed. Cause yourself to be glorified and enjoyed. This is prayer on a cosmic scale that we're praying. And for some of us, our hearts should be overflowing with the prayer that this world would find freedom from sin and death and evil. That God would reign as worthy and holy. That he would be worshipped and glorified. That he would be hallowed and set apart as the glorious I Am, who is the beginning and the end of all existence. God, we're praying, cause people to have such a high view of you that we would hate to lose your approval. Cause us to have such a high view that we would hate to displease you. When you become a Christian, you know it's so easy to just slip into a funk, to walk into a malaise, to be numbed. And we stop caring. We know we displease God. We know our life and walk as a Christian isn't up to scratch. We know our witness is not as holy as it should be. Do we care? When we pray, hallowed be your name, that's the most important prayer we can pray. We're asking God, cause your name to be so hallowed and holy in my life that I would hate to displease you. Cause me to hate to displease you. Some of us need to pray that. We hallow his name when we treat God as holy and good. When we pick up the cross and follow Jesus. When we keep his commandments, we hallow his name. This is the most important prayer we can pray, because we're praying for ourselves to become God's people. And if you're not one of his people yet, pray, hallowed be your name, knowing that you're praying that he would save you and make you one of his people, thereby hallowing his name. And that as God's people, we would, in our lives, in our witness, in our holiness, bring glory to God. That we would lift up his reputation and character, that people will see us and see God as great and different and real and good. That God would use us to reach our families, our neighbors, our friends. For God's purpose to be lifted up in our lives as the reason we live. That He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of my life and your life. Is He? Is He? The most important prayer is a dangerous prayer to pray. It might lead to a radical change in your life. God might change or remove something in your life that is currently a rival for your heart's affection. You care most about you and the things that you enjoy. God might take away the taste of how good those things are. God's top priority, the first thing we pray for in the example, the prayer that Jesus teaches us, God's top priority is that His name, His glory, His character, Him, He would become our top priority. And that changes how we order the affections of our heart, the order of our daily life. And when we pray this most important prayer, we pray these priorities into reality. When we join in with God's mission to make His name worthy and holy in all the earth. So, we must hallow His name more deeply. We must believe and fear and obey and glorify His name with new intensity. His top priority must be the top priority of the Christian's heart. What's been your top priority recently? What has consumed you recently, for good and for bad? What eats you up? Something has gone wrong? Something that you're wanting? They often say, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. The most important prayer is that God being top priority would be your top priority. The main thing is that the main thing would be the main thing. Anything else distracting you and pulling you away from the fact that God is the top priority? Any other interests and loyalties that you have? Make sure that God is your number one loyalty and number one priority. That He would be the one that we enjoy the most. That we would give what He asks us to give. That we would enjoy what He asks us to enjoy. That we would be willing to go wherever He is leading us to go. Will this be your prayer today? Hallowed be your... How many times have we just rattled through the Lord's Prayer? Some of the other ones sort of catch your eye a bit more, but hallowed be your name. Pause. Pray it. Understand the magnitude, the intensity of those words of that prayer on your life and my life. If you don't yet know God and you pray, hallowed be your name, get ready for Him either to bring justice at the end or come to Him before it's too late and know how great His grace is, how great His love is, how great His mercy and peace is. Will this be your prayer today? Lord, save me. Lord, lead me. Lord, use me. Lord, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen.